Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, and our guest is Ingrid Karlqvist of Sweden. She is a distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute, an accomplished journalist and author, including a terrific book, Dangerous Words, co-authored by Lars Hedegaard, another extraordinarily impressive freedom fighter based in Denmark. Ingrid, we were just talking about the government of Sweden very reluctantly concluding that this is not working out properly. And I've heard that the government has indicated they're going to start deporting some of these migrants. Is that in fact the case? And if so, will it be enough and in time?
No, of course not, because there are so many problems with this. And they have said it before, and nothing has ever happened. Because the last thing I saw was that there was an Afghani rapist who was, he and his friends committed one of the most brutal gang rapes Sweden has ever experienced. And then he was sentenced to 4 years in prison. He was inside for 3 years, and then he was supposed to be sent back to Afghanistan. But Afghanistan said, we don't want him. So now he's still in Sweden. And this is what is happening. We have a lot of these Moroccan
still in Sweden and out of jail, or still in Sweden and still in jail?
Of course. He's just running around. And we have a lot of these Moroccan street kids. They don't even seek asylum because they don't have any reasons for asylum. But they are running around Stockholm City, you know, robbing people, harassing people. And Morocco says, we don't want them. So they are still in Sweden. And so even if they wanted to do it, how can they do it? Because we are, you know, and if there is someone, a murderer or something from some country where they have the death penalty, even if he is sentenced to leave Sweden, they won't send him because then he might be hanged in his own country. And we wouldn't like that, would we?
Ingrid, let me back the lens up a little bit and ask you to talk about what's been going on across the Baltic Sea, Germany, at the moment. We're watching, unfortunately, it seems, a very similar set of problems afflicting the Germans. Their government has been at the forefront, I guess along with yours really, but at the forefront in Europe of opening the doors wide to these folks making the Hijra. How is this playing out in Germany, as you see it, from your vantage point in Sweden? And in particular, would you comment on the deal that Angela Merkel has lately struck with Turkey?
I think the Germans are in the same horrible situation as we Swedes, and maybe the Germans are even worse. I think Sweden has taken more per capita than Germany have, but they have been taking millions. And I think what's going on here is that Germany, they have this bad conscience about World War II, so they think that if they... this is sort of a compensation. But what they are actually doing, what Merkel is doing, what our prime minister is doing, that they are changing. They are, we have the Swedish people, and they are changing the people to a lot of Muslims and people from all over the world. And what is the point with this? Well, if you could say that they are just stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They think that people are the same all over the world. So it doesn't matter if you bring in a lot of Muslims who hate homosexuals, and they hate Jews, and they hate women, and so on. Or you might think that it would be a good thing for the government because, I mean, the people, they are supposed, the government are supposed to you know, work for the people. So at one point, the people could say, we don't want you anymore because you are behaving really bad. But if you split up the people so that there is not one people, there are a lot of minorities and groups who hate each other, then the government can go on as they, as there really wasn't a people existing.
Do you see as well a process developing in Europe in which these Muslim minorities exercise real political power as well, not simply by virtue of sort of their conduct and threats and demands for accommodations, but literally by becoming kingmakers in parliamentary political processes?
Absolutely. In Sweden, you cannot have statistics on people's religion, but we know from countries like France, even the U.S. and Britain, that Muslims tend to vote as their leaders tell them. I mean, I think 92% of the French Muslims voted for Hollande. And in Sweden, they vote for the Social Democrats. So for a lot of years, the Social Democrats have been very pro-Islam and taking in a lot of Muslims in the party. And they know that if they do things that the Muslims like, then they will get all the Muslim votes.
When you say they're leaders, I'm always curious about that because I wonder whether it's the case in Sweden and elsewhere in Europe, as you are monitoring closely, Ingrid Carlquist, as it is here, that many of the so-called leaders that our government has embraced as representatives of Muslims in the United States actually are Muslim brothers. They're people whose ability to, parlay their foreign sources of funds in many cases, their domination of mosques because they've been able to use Saudi money to buy the mortgages for them, their ability to hold conventions that gather large numbers of people and are claimed to be representative of the population of Muslims in this country is all really in the service of a kind of jihad as well. I guess the Brotherhood calls it civilization jihad rather than the violent kind initially. But are you seeing that happening in Europe as well? And are those, as here, not the kind of, quote, leaders, unquote, that our governments should be treating with?
Absolutely. We had a scandal just a few years ago where into the leadership of the Social Democrats came a Muslim who everybody thought, oh, he's a nice Muslim, but he was actually supporting. He was one of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he had to resign, and there was a little, you know, hullabaloo about that. But, I mean, so that is actually true. Even the nice imams that you see on television, if you start to dig a little bit into what they have been saying before, how they have been, working against more Islamization, you find a lot of dirt.
And, and interestingly, one of my colleagues who's studied these guys closely says it's part of the tradecraft of the Muslim Brotherhood that they're always the nicest guys in the room. So I think your point is very well taken. What is presented on television and in these various other media outlets, which fawn over them and give them extraordinary, free rein in terms of representing themselves as Muslim leaders and speaking for their community. It actually is very much, skin deep. You press or investigate even a little bit, and you find out that this is redolent of jihad in terms of their conduct. This is very troubling, needless to say, and I wonder whether in your country you're seeing what we are now being exposed to in terms of the postmortems on the Brussels attacks, particularly, Ingrid, and that is that there's really an infrastructure that has been put in place over the years that the radicals and jihadists and so on are able to exploit, perhaps for violent kinds of jihad in the future.
Yeah, and I think that you asked me before what are the Swedes thinking right now, and I hear a lot of Swedes actually planning to leave Sweden because they think that we have already reached the point of no return. There are so many Muslims in this country and the people are really scared. What will happen? Do we even have a chance to fix Sweden again, to make Sweden the nice, calm and safe country it once were? And I'm not sure, but I'm not willing to give up, right?
Well, I don't want you to either. We need your, at the very least, your reporting from that very important outpost in the free world's frontiers. Ingrid Carlquist, we have to pause for one last break. We will be right back with more with this distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute about what all this might mean for you here in the United States. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.